Well, we are in the end of Romans chapter 12. Come to our last message here. I've been battling an infection in my stomach all week. It's the same infection I caught after coming back from Guatemala back in 04. The question is, did it ever get healed? I mean, I was on antibiotics then. I'm on antibiotics again. They have me on 3 different antibiotics. I'm taking a total of about 10 pills a day, trying to get this infection out. And it's important that the infection gets out because there's all these side effects and all these other things. So I was thinking about that, you know, that's the way it is when we don't root out sin in our lives. When we don't deal with the sin issues in our life, they fester and they hang out there. The possibility is that there was another thing that I was taking for my heartburn was just masking, it was hiding, it was keeping it hidden. And when I stopped taking that medication, it just flourished again. It just kind of popped up again. And a lot of times we think we've covered our sin or we've not really taken care of it and really dealt with it. And as we think about Romans chapter 12, I mean, he starts off with, surrender your bodies as a holy and living sacrifice. I mean, that's the first step in our sanctification is total surrender to him. And so in the very practical things of this passage, you know, we surrender our heart to God and we allow him to root out and to cleanse us. That's what Psalm 51 was about. You know, again, see in thee only have I sinned. Clean me, make me white as hyssop, make me white as snow. White as snow, Father. And as we live in these days, that is a reality of our lives. I'm working towards the back half of my life. You know, I'm realizing some of the things that are really important and things that are not important. If you were able to purchase the book, I still have some more on Hudson Taylor. I mean, just his first chapters of what he was doing to prepare himself to get ready to go to the mission field. You know, it's just a reminder that the discipline that you and I need in our lives so that we can be used by God. And we could be discipled and we could be trained and raised up and prepared for the opportunities that God has for us. Because whether we're gray-haired or not, God can still and will use us for his glory. Think about Moses. He was 80 years old when God used him. He was already going on to the back third of his life. And God used him in a mighty way. Another one was Caleb. You know, Caleb is 80 years old also. And when they got to the promised land, Caleb didn't ask for the green pastures. He asked for the mountain. Give me this mountain and I will possess it. I will chase out, I will run out the Jebusites. At that time was a very stronghold there. And Caleb at 80 said, give me that. I want that. He put himself up for a challenge, and where a lot of us are thinking retirement. We're not thinking about the challenge of serving God and walking with God. And here we find chapter 12 just opens this up. But he spent 11 chapters on doctrine. He spent the whole 8th chapter on the first 6-7 chapters on sin. And it tears us apart. And then chapter 8, the glory of the Spirit-filled life. And then he deals with Israel 9, 10, and 11. But again, there's principles there for us. Is a great desire for his people to know, come to know Christ. And then in chapter 12, he starts a very practical section. And he starts it off, present your bodies a holy and living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't let it slide. He doesn't let it slip. He says, no, this is how we need to do it. Then he talks about serving others. Then he talks about loving others. And then he talks about take heed, action. We need to be action. Be diligent, he says, with these things. Get involved. Get your hands dirty. Get working. Get busy for God. And then he lastly comes to this area of peace, where you and I know that peace is not the norm in our world history. There have been battles and wars over the years and over the centuries and over the millennium, that there have been battles after battle after battle after battle. That peace is not the norm. We have been blessed in this country that we have not really known other than Pearl Harbor and and what happened in New York, we really have not known battle here on this country, on this part of the earth. And for that, we need to be grateful. But there is a constant battle. There is this, not just this physical battle, but there's this spiritual battle. And we see the changes in our culture, the morality, the verbiage, the levels of anger and all this stuff. How do we, as God's children, blessed is the peacemaker, right? Blessed is the peacemaker. God has called us to be the peacemaker. Now, ultimately, we have to deal with our sin issue with God so we can enjoy the peace. Oh, we can enjoy peace with God. And then we take everything to prayer so we can have the peace of God every day. This peace with God is for eternity. When we're saved, we have this peace for eternity. But the peace of God is something that we enjoy or we don't enjoy every day. It's something that we must pursue and practice and reach for. And as we enjoy peace with God and the peace of God, we are to turn now to our fellow brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our friends and all this to deal with the peace issues that need to be made here so that we have an opportunity to share the gospel. Because again, everything that we think about and do in life is with the gospel emphasis. How can I restore this? How can I fix this so that we can share the gospel, so they can come to know Christ? God, how do you want to use me in this difficult time in my life so we can get to know Christ, so they can get to know Christ? You know, we're inundated with these reality shows, right? And on almost all reality shows, what's the main goal? Tear somebody down, stomp on them, make fun of them, whatever it might be, with a lot of them, or take advantage of them. I hope you know that apart from wrestling, everything else is scripted, right? We want to see if you're awake. Most of these shows are scripted. Unfortunately, many people live that reality. I remember back at the post office, oh man, this was about 30 years ago. A couple ladies were talking and about some guy came up on the balcony and this whole drama issue. I said, oh wow, what soap opera are you watching? She says, there was no soap opera. It happened to me the other day. I go, oh, in my big mouth. We find ridiculous amounts of anger and hatred and garbage. We find bullying. We find all kinds of stuff going on in our world. How are we going to make an impact? Yes, we need to preach the gospel. But I believe there's this practical area of extending peace, being that peacemaker, being able to come out and change the mood and the attitude in a room. I'll talk about it later. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath or anger. How many of us start with a soft answer? I know I don't. I have a hard time with that. It escalates and elevates very quickly. How many of you have had a conflict? Not necessarily today. I hope you didn't have one in the parking lot. But have you ever had conflict with somebody? Did it escalate quickly? Why? Are we guilty of pouring fuel on the fire? Are we guilty of assisting that? Are we can't let the Flip Wilson School of Theology lead here. The devil made me do it. And some of you are like, who's Flip Wilson? An old comedian. How do we deal with bad behavior in the moment? Now, I know we're supposed to be prepared. We're supposed to train ourselves up. How do we deal with bad behavior in the moment? How do we deal with somebody who's assaulting us verbally? How do we deal with that racist or that person who's just bent on making life miserable? Look with me to verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you. So what's he saying? It may not always work out, but as far as it depends on you. So where is he putting the responsibility? On ourselves. That we must extend the olive branch, as it were. That's kind of a peace offering, right? We're to try to extend the bridge in which to offer peace or to bring about resolution or to bring about a de-escalating of the situation. So if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's mankind. And in the Christian life, this is where, if you know Dr. McGee, a famous preacher, this is where the rubber meets the road. Because this is where the reality is. Those of you who drive on the highways for work, road rage is a reality. People cutting you off. People saluting you. People not doing what you want them to do because you're in a hurry. It's like, you get out of my way because I've got somewhere to go. Or people treating you that way. You're doing the speed limit. I'll confess, I was speeding one time. One time, I'll confess too. We were going to San Diego, Sarah and I. We're down there by San Onofre. We're in the slow lane, doing 80 miles an hour, and everybody else is passing us up. I guess I had to confess that. Where was I going with this? We find ourselves in a world filled with, I'm in a hurry, get out of my way. I'm in a hurry to get something done, get out of my way. So as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Well, this morning I want us to see three things, as far as it depends on you, out of this passage, three things, 3 points, as far as it depends on you. Now, we need to take ownership of that statement. Okay? That's a reality. That's a practical Christian principle. That's one of our core realities, core principles, core beliefs. We must take ownership of this as far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. Now, I don't know this morning that any of you are harboring a grudge or an attitude, or maybe that person is so far distant that you don't even think about them anymore, or that situation. But how would you feel if that person showed up in your life tomorrow? And I wish I could say that I never held a grudge. I was never angry at anybody. I never thought bad about somebody, or never thought the worst, you know, for anybody. But this is a reality that this sin affects all of us. As far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. The first point. Don't respond from the gutter. Don't respond from the gutter. Look at verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never pay back evil for evil. If we're paying back evil, where are we? In the gutter. If we're going to throw mud back at somebody who threw mud at us, that means we're in the mud pit. If we're going to throw sewage at somebody, it's because they threw sewage at us, we're throwing it back. That means we're in the sewage pit. And if we're honest with ourselves, the first part of Romans has told us, get out of the sewer, be up in the heavenlies, be up, not conform to this world, because that's what this world will say. Somebody throws some mud at you, throw it back. Somebody disrespects you, disrespect them. If somebody, you know, challenges you, challenge them back. Don't back down. You can't be afraid. You can't be a sissy. You can't be, you know, whatever. Get out of the gutter. Respond by not starting in the gutter with them. Take what they call the high road. And that high road is the road least traveled. Because it's so much easier to throw something back at somebody who's thrown it at you, right? Yes or no? And he says, don't lower yourself. Again, don't desire the devil's methods. Because the devil would want us to throw, to live in the sewer, to live in the gutter, to throw mud, to throw sewage at one another, because then he has victory. Because when people around us see us throwing mud and sewage, what are they going to think about our testimony? What are they going to think about our God? When our God is telling us, don't return evil for evil, what is he saying? Respect what is right in the sight of all men. 1 Thessalonians tells us, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. We are to be seekers of that which is good for all people, not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but for all people. That means we are having to be responsible to live in godliness, to live that spirit-filled life, so we're not tempted to get in the sewer with everybody else and start throwing stuff back. He says, respect what is right in the sight of men. Friends, de-escalating a situation, a soft answer, turns away wrath. I had somebody years ago tell me, don't yell at me. Not even my husband yells at me. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm not yelling at you. I'm a little excited, but I'm not yelling at you. If I was yelling at you, you would know. Well, again, my way of justifying myself for being upset with the conversation that was going on. I had to pull myself away from another friend because James tells us the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And I was angry, justifiably angry too, with the situation that was going on. But I realized if I stayed in that conversation, if I stayed in that friendship for that time, I would have been doing God's name more harm than good. Because the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And friends, there's times that we just need to walk away. We need to pull away. We need to say, stop, you know what? I need to go pray. Stop, you know what? I'm going to lose my testimony over this. I need to get out of the gutter. I need to keep from getting in the gutter. I need to honor God's name. How did Christ respond when he was beaten? How did Paul respond? The second point here, as far as it depends on you, trust God to settle the account. But I can't walk away and not say anything or do anything. What do you think my friends are going to say? What do you think my wife's going to say? My husband's going to say? What do you think my kids are going to say? What do you think my parents are going to say? I've got to stand up. Let God settle the account. Supernatural work, of course. That doesn't come naturally for some of us. It's a supernatural work. He says, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. In other words, at this moment in time, get out of God's way. Get out of God's way and let God do what he's going to do. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, vengeance is mine and retribution in due time. And this is where you and I struggle, in due time. Well, come on, Lord, hurry up with that. See, if I would have jumped in, we would have dealt with this already. We would have been done. But God says, you don't see the big picture. In due time, their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near. How near? Not near enough for us, but near enough for God. And the impending things are hastening upon them. See, because when we want to respond with vengeance, with revenge, with whatever we might call it, we are always wanting for the destruction of somebody else, right? Or at least the harm, or at least a bit of a sting, right? To that other person, you can't talk to me like that. You can't treat me that way. We had for a moment there, I was supervising at the post office, and we had some new temporary employees, and part of the work was unloading sacks, dumping out the sacks, dumping the mail out. And, you know, you came to work, you came to, you know, and one girl, oh, I can't do that, you know, her fingernails. I said, well, you know, you came up, you got hired, you need to do the work. But I'm a child of God, you can't treat me that way. I really want to say, well, I'm a child of God too, and he told me to tell you to dump that sack. Let the room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay in my time, in my way. The way I see in the big picture of things. Because even in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 22, he's speaking of Egypt. He's speaking of a future time in the millennium. After Christ returns and he reigns on this earth, this is what he says about Egypt. Egypt is the mortal enemy of Israel. Back in the day, and for a long time it was, they're right now kind of, well, they're not speaking terms, but they're not really going at it. But this is what he says of Egypt. The Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing. So they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and heal them. See, when we take revenge, we get in God's way because we don't know what God is going to do with this and how God might bring about repentance. We're not interested in repentance. We're just interested in justice. We're just interested in getting even. But God is saying, look, there's a bigger picture here. Get out of my way. Trust me. Let this go, and I will bring about repentance, or I will bring about judgment. Now, let me qualify this a little. I'm not talking about being a doormat. I'm not talking about not calling the police in situations. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. Don't defend your wife if somebody's coming with a bat. No, I'm not talking about those things. There are situations where we need to step up. Even Paul did. When they took Paul in, they arrested Paul, beat him, and put him in jail, and they were going to send him out the next day. And he said, wait. Let me get this right. You beat me, you arrested me, and you're sending me out without a trial, and I'm a Roman citizen. And at that moment, everybody turned pale when they realized, because Roman citizens had rights, and you could not do these things to a Roman citizen. So he called out on his rights. It was okay. And there are times for you need to step up. You know, they talk about, there's some who will believe that a woman should stay even in a verbally or physically abusive relationship, trusting God. No, that's not me. Call the police. Get out of there. Get help. So again, there's times and places for us to step up and do what's right. The attitude here is not about self-defense or protection. The idea here is about revenge. You ever get those vengeful feelings? If I had a gun, I'd shoot him. Or I wish, you know, they might trip or fall over. I'll help them a little. None of you have those vengeful feelings or thoughts. Never. Maybe we get our release by watching reality TV. But the thing is, those thoughts come and cross our minds, and those feelings may fill our heart. If you've ever been bullied, you know you wish somebody else bigger would come and beat up that bully. Revenge. Get out of God's way. Let him take care of the vengeance. Let him take care of the justice. Let him settle the account. Let him do it, for we don't know what he's going to do in the big picture. He might be bringing about repentance in that person's life. And for that, we should be grateful. We should be humbled that God is going to use us and allow us to go through this difficulty so that he could bring about repentance. Does that excite you? In the moment, it doesn't. But if you look back and think about the moments where God used to bring about others to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, to repentance, to obedience. The third thing, not only are we not to respond from the gutter or trust God and to trust God to settle the account, we need to shock them by showing them kindness. We need to shock them by showing them kindness. Look at verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, what do? Eat in front of them? No. Feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. That's the kind thing to do, right? But Lord, you don't know what they've done. You don't know how they treat. Think about Jonah. Think about Jonah. He was sold this passage When God told him to go preach to Nineveh, he said in his actions, no way. He got on the boat, went the other way. And then when this whole thing worked out, that they threw him overboard, the big fish got him and brought him, spit him back up on the shore. He preached and the whole city repented. Even then, he was angry. Even then, he was upset. Even then, see, God, I told you, I knew that's exactly what you were going to do, and basically that's why I didn't want to do it. You've heard testimony of people who their daughter was murdered, and the father goes to the prison to visit the murderer and ministers to him, shares the gospel with him, and over these situations. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. If somebody brutally murdered one of my children, could you do it? Initially, off the bat of the top of my head, I would have to be honest and say I would have a lot of difficulty with that. I have difficulty dealing with people who've hurt my family, even in this life. But God says, return evil with good. Shock them with kindness. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Friends, this is not a way to embarrass people. This is not a way to shame them. But this is a way to show the goodness of God to them. Because out of God's goodness, didn't he shock us with the cross? Didn't he shock us that he offered us free salvation? Didn't he shock us by showing his compassion and mercy and grace? Are you shocked by that? I mean, some of you came and God can't save me. You know what? No one is so bad that they can't be saved. Why? Because it is the all-powerful, almighty God who does the saving. And you are no match for God. When God wants you, he's going to get you. But friends, we get in his way. Instead of saying, help me to show your kindness. Help me to offer to you love and forgiveness. Help me to bring about peace. Help me to provide a bridge which I could share the gospel, or somebody else could share the gospel. Scan some of the comments you hear from people of other religions, especially Muslims, when they come to know Christ, and they say, it was because of your kindness. Not because of your words, but because you showed me kindness that I began to consider your claims as Christians. There was a place for us to verbally explain the gospel, but a lot of times it's about people wanting to know how much you care before they know how much you know. Or maybe it's by reaching out, by helping out. Maybe it's the Honda commercial, right? Acts of kindness. I mean, simple things. They were paying for their entrance to the beach. And the people were like, what? No way. Really? Yeah, it's 15, 20 bucks at Huntington Beach now. Really? And then they're kind of like, what's the catch? Friends, we offer kindness in the name of Christ. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You catch what he's saying here? Don't let the grief, don't let the anger, don't let the bitterness, don't let this overwhelm you and draw you down and take you out. Friends, have horrible things happen? Yes. And some of you have been recipients of horrible things or difficult things to deal with and to face in your life. Whether it's from your upbringing, to your marriage, to your health, to your children, to your grandchildren, whatever it might be. Don't let that overwhelm you, the evil that is brought on you by others. Don't let it overwhelm you. Don't be sinking like you're in quicksand. Step up and stand up and say, God, you are my help. God, you are my savior. God, you are my strength. God, you are my banner. You are my shield. You are my protector. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why it's happening to me. But I know you do, and you want to do something for your glory out of this. Do not let evil overcome you, but overcome evil with good as we put ourselves on the track with God and say, God, you are the Savior. You are the Mighty One. You are my Deliverer. You are holy and righteous. You extended your hand, even to Judas. He had him sitting where? At the Last Supper. Right there at his left side. Dude, that guy, he wouldn't have even been around the meal. But Jesus Christ, almost as if to say, one last chance, Judas. And he finally told him, do what you got to do. Do not let bitterness settle in. You don't have to raise your hand, okay? Have you ever gotten so angry that 5 minutes later, somebody tells you what you said or did and you don't believe them? How many of you in your anger have said something really, really bad? Because you've allowed evil to overcome you. Instead of stepping aside and saying, God, handle this, please. You tell me what my part in the solution here is. Tell me what you want me to do. Do I need to call the police? Do I need to step out of this relationship? Do I need to find another medical carrier? What do I need to do? Do I need to move out of this neighborhood? You tell me, Lord, that I can be the best servant possible so that I can bring about your glory, your honor, your praise, your salvation, or your judgment, whatever it might be. Now, let me say this before I invite the worship team up. When you treat somebody with kindness, they may not trust you at first, right? Like, no, where's the strings? Why are you doing this to me? No way. Uh-uh. I don't believe you. You're up to something. There's something more here. Say, no, I'm just being obedient to my God. God told me to feed you. God told me to give you something to drink. God told me to extend peace to you. That's why I'm here. They may not believe you at first. They may not trust you. But still not a reason to stop doing it. Because as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, if they never respond to you, if they never receive it, that's on them, not on you. You've made everything available. But sometimes you say, well, you see, God, I knew it. I offered them, and I knew they weren't going to take it. See, what a waste of time. No. It's never a waste of time when we obey God. It's never a waste of effort or energy or anything when we do it God's way. Proverbs says, do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Let God deal with that. Let God deal with that. Matthew says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. A tall order, isn't it? But doable. Because we are filled with the Spirit of God. And we have his power at work in us and through us. Think about those people you may be holding a grudge against. Somebody who's spoken mean. Somebody who's harmed your family. Confess your attitude to God. And let him handle it. Let him settle the accounts. If you've been that antagonizer or that harmful person or that person who's put evil on somebody else, repent. Confess your sin. But Pastor, I've never attacked anybody. Have you gossiped? Then you have. Have you looked at people with an attitude like, oh, I can't believe she's wearing that? Or who does he think he is driving that kind of car? There's subtle ways in which we attack people. Ask God to examine, as you examine your heart, to show you if there's any evil way in you, that you would confess and repent, and that you would do what's right. Father, this morning, definitely a supernatural work. peacemaker. We could be that peacemaker because of Christ in us, because we have found peace with you, and we enjoy the peace of God every day. Father, help us in our journey on this earth to make a difference, to make an impact. Help us to honor you with all of our words and our thoughts and our attitudes. Direct our ways, direct our mission here on earth, Father, for the betterment of the kingdom, for the growth and the development of your saints, and that, Father, we would teach our boys, our young boys and our young girls, how to respond to negative behavior. Father, guide and direct us, we pray in Christ's name, in whom we have the victory. Amen. God bless you all.